Good morning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This is a season where God is near. And God is ready to listen to your heart. God's ears are open and his mouth is ready to speak words of wisdom unto you. And so I just really believe that if you go into your closet, God is ready to speak. And it's going to be a conversation. It's not going to be one-sided. Too many times we have a prayer time, and it's just us talking. I don't think that's going to be the case in this season. This season is going to be where we talk, he talks, and we're going to get some rich stuff from God. And he's going to download some stuff in on our spirit. We're still talking about spiritual warfare, and the next subject is resist the devil and submit to God. When we resist the devil, and basically we know right from wrong, and so when we know right from wrong, we are able to resist the devil. Sometimes it's the devil, sometimes it's just us, sometimes we like sin. This is sin is fun for a season, but sometimes it's the devil that brings us temptation, and we have to resist that. But it also says we need to submit ourselves to God. Sometimes when we just resist the devil, we become neutral. No, that's not just going to work right there. We have to submit to God. And James 4:6-7 says, but he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like that, because that's a promise. That's something that God has written down and said, this is like a contract. He says, when you resist the devil and submit yourself to God, the devil has to flee from you. And you tell the devil that. You just say, hey, devil, get out of here. I resist you in the name of Jesus. You must flee. By that authority, it's not by my authority. I don't have any authority. It's only the Jesus in me, by the Holy Spirit, that I can resist the devil and tell him he needs to get out of here. And so by the authority of the Word of God, he has to flee. And so understand your feet are on solid ground when you resist the devil and submit yourselves to God. And the submitting to God becomes a thing that we rest in God because we are on the by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do the will of God that's written in the Word of God. Our submission should take us into a peaceful place. In this uncertain times, I mean, we need a peaceful place. The Word says that in Psalms 16:6, my lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good heritage. My lines, where I live, where I grocery shop, where I get my gas, where I live, have fallen to me in pleasant places. And it says we must acknowledge this and understand that my God has given me these boundaries. And the Greek, it's called metrons. This is a metron, a place where I live. Every place there God has given me a place of protection. If we live in fear in that metron, we are saying God is not doing his job. Understand that we are also saying if God is not doing his job, we are not being faithful, and we're not having faith to what he said he would do. His word already outlines for us what those places are, and we need to acknowledge that. If we don't acknowledge that, we're an ungrateful people. And when we become an ungrateful people, and when we don't acknowledge God's word about this, we are living in sin. Understand, fear in a Christian's life is sin. We're not acknowledging who God is in us, in the earth, and how he's taking us from victory to victory. Larry Bryant has a song, It Is Enough. And in that song, he has a line in there that just it just sums it up. He says, in that line it says, it hurts me so to see you struggle on. And he's talking about how God just hurts because he sees his children struggle. And I think when I gave my children things for them to make their life easier, and they didn't take advantage of that, I thought, why aren't they taking advantage of that? And I'd go to them, look, I gave you this. Why aren't you using it? Why aren't you, well, I don't know how to use it. Well, let me show you. Let me train you. God is doing that to us right now. God is saying, come with me. Take some time and be a part with me. I'm going to train you how to use the benefits of my salvation. The benefits of salvation is more than just getting to go to heaven. The benefits of the salvation is health. And I'm going to say prosperity, but it is giving you everything you need for life and for godliness. God has given you everything you need for what you need to do to raise your children, to live life, and so that you don't struggle. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let me get it here. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They gave them this word, but they didn't mix it with the faith that they had. And so therefore it didn't benefit them. When we read the word of God, if we just think it's a fairy tale, if we just think it's just something, oh, it's just nice, we went to church, we just heard something, but they didn't mix it with their own faith, it's not going to work. Our faith is what pleases God. Our faith, believing in the God himself, is what pleases him. Go on to verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. We cease from our own work. Well, what does that mean? Well, I keep trying to get the benefits by doing things myself. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. I do it apart from God's word, and I do it by my own flesh. Oh, man, I need to take care of this. I need to do that. Even though I prayed, even though I don't wait to listen to what God says, I try to go do what I think I need to do, but I don't listen to God. And he says, you're doing it by your own flesh. You're doing it by yourself. And God says, okay, go ahead and try to do it by yourself. And we tire ourselves out. Why? Because we don't rest in what God says do. How many times have you come across a problem and then you just tried to do it yourself, you tried to do it yourself, and all of a sudden you're so tired and you just put up your hands and you go, well, God, I can't do it anymore. And he says, well, if you'd have just come to me in the first place, if you just tried this, if you would have come to my word and you would have asked me first, we could have eliminated this problem. Well, don't beat yourself up. Everybody goes through that process. But realize that, hey, maybe next time you'll go to him sooner. And let's go on from verse 11. There, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When we try to do it by ourselves, we are in unbelief. Means we don't believe God. We don't believe that He can do it. We don't believe that He can take care of us. We don't believe that He has given us everything for life and godliness. Or we get antsy. Oh my gosh, we're in the ninth hour. We're in the 11th hour. Oh my gosh, He's not going to take care of us. Oh my gosh. But what are we, can He do it? Yes, He can. We have to believe that He will take care of us. And so, verse 12. Very important verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So if we live our life by our mind, our logic, our thinking, oh, this is how things are going to work. How many times have I gone there and thought, yeah, this is the way God's going to work? Or my will, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make sure that it works. Or my emotions, oh my gosh, I'm so sad. I cry, or I just don't like this emotion. So I'm gonna do something to get out of my emotion. Now, if you live by those three things, that's your soul. But your spirit can override those things. My spirit man, when you were born again, you were given a spirit that is given to you by God. Now your spirit man talks with your Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit speaks to that spirit man, and it can override your soul. And you pray that it does. And so you feed that spirit man. And where does that feeding come from? It comes from the Word of God. And that Word of God feeds that spirit, and it becomes bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, you become a discerner of the Spirit. And you say, oh my God, I need to live by the Spirit of the Lord. And so when that comes, you're going to learn to rest in the things of God. When hard times come, like we are now, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Because why? You know God's going to take care of it. You know where God's leading you. You know God says, rest in this. God has me. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. Jimmy and I are trying to see what are we going to do this coming Sunday, and we talked about, are we going to meet? There's some churches that are going to meet. The governor has loosened up some restrictions. Are we going to meet in the parking lot? Are we going to continue to do this? Jimmy's going to talk to you afterwards, but I think Passover Friday, we are going to have communion together through Zoom. Go get your crackers, go get your grape juice, and we're going to meet at 7 o'clock, and we're going to take communion together. The last Zoom meeting that we had together was beautiful. I loved it. I loved seeing your faces. I loved talking with you. And I think this next Friday, we're gonna come together and have communion together. And so get your unleavened bread, get your grape juice or get your wine, and we're going to take communion together. And I think it's going to be a beautiful time, and I look forward to it. I really do. Let's go on. A little commercial there for Zoom Friday. Be there. We'll send out some more stuff, and Jimmy will probably address that again. Our state of mind is important to our faith. It's important it's important and crucial to our spiritual warfare. If we believe we're already defeated, then we're defeated. If our state of mind is not with the things of God, then and I'm going to read you a scripture here in a minute that's going to tell you we're not able to see the victor as that God is the victor in the end. Consider Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. Those of you who watch the news every day, every minute of the hour, you know how that can just weigh you down. I'm just tired of statistics. I'm tired of those of how many people have died. And you know, sometimes you just need to watch a Hallmark movie. You need to watch something that is an encouraging word. You need to watch. You need to get someone who has a word of the Lord for you. Get with a friend who knows what God has to say about these things, who knows what God is saying, who knows the word of the Lord for you, and ask them. Say, what's the word of the Lord today? And if they don't know, maybe you'll spur them to good works, to good deeds, to get them to get into the Word of God. I know Sharon does that. Sharon will spur you. She tells me, what's the Word of the Lord today? And I go, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, by the end of the day, I'll find one. So find that friend. Find that person who encourages you by the Word of God. Philippians 4 through 8. I'm going to read it out of the King James. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a good word right there. Rejoice in the Lord always. What's always mean? I think it means always. I mean all the time. Always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there are any virtue, if there are any praise, think on these things. I think that's pretty covers pretty much everything, right? Well, let me read it out of the Amplified. I love this. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That's pretty specific, and that's a pretty tall order. About anything? Wow. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. God is a loving, caring God. He wants you to make those requests known to Him. For His sake, He already knows what you need. But He wants you to have a humble heart so that you will have a humble heart to Him. If you ask Him, what is your stature? Your stature is of humility unto Him. You know that you can't get it yourself. You have to ask God for it. And God's peace, And I like the way the Amplified puts it in here. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison. You know what garrison is? It means it gets all the way around and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's going to garrison your mind. It's going to garrison your heart. It's going to garrison all the way around you. And it's going to protect it. Prayer, 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 prayer. I cannot emphasize this enough. For a long time, we had a saying here, and it says, prayer is not the least you can do. Prayer is the most you can do. Understand that prayer will get you through, and that it's not the last resort. It should be the first thing that you get to. For the rest, brethren, I like this. Whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think and weigh and take account of these things. Fix. It says fix your minds on them. It means don't let your mind be distracted on things that are not of God, on things that are not, things that are going to creep in. Because let me tell you what, Satan would rather have you think on horrible things. Things that, oh, what if? I tell my wife and my kids, don't live in the land of what if. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And let me tell you, I go there. Especially when my kids started driving. Because I'm going, what if there's a drunk driver? What if this happens over there? And what if this? And what if that? And just, it paints the worst case scenario. But let me tell you, I also pleaded the blood over my kids' lives. I also pleaded the blood over what God can do to give them protection. Because I have to live like God wants me to live. Not like the way Satan wants me to live, which is in fear and doubt. I have to live the way God wants me to live. Well, and that is in rest, not in doubt. In rest and not in the things of what might happen. There's a scripture. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah had just completed the wall around Jerusalem. And the doors had been hung and the people had returned to the fortified city. And they were beginning to rejoice and they were having a party. They were all celebrating that the Jerusalem had come back to its original form. And it was being what they wanted it to be. And God had done a mighty thing. In Nehemiah 8, 9 through 12, it says this. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all of them, this day is holy to the Lord, our God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why did they weep? It wasn't out of sadness. They didn't weep. It was because they were struck by the Word of God. The Word of God was being taught and being spoken. Then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. And be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. For the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. When we are joyous in God, and I'm not saying we should be joyous in things that there's been deaths from this COVID-19. I'm not telling you be joyous about those things. I'm saying there's plenty to be joyous in God. We need to be joyful in God and who He is. We need to celebrate God in our lives. So the Levites, priests, quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy, and do not be grieved and sad." And all the people went their way to eat, drink, send portions, and make great rejoicing, for they had understood. They had understood the words that were declared to them. Let us be a people who understand the Word of God. Let us be a people who get into the Word, and God is going to bring you, let me tell you what, sometimes supernatural power to understand the Word of God. You say, "Oh man, I've tried to read it. I don't understand it." Let me tell you, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that will help you understand the Word of God. Before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I saw things in black and white. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, I started seeing things in color. It's just a real thing that God did in my life. And they understood the Word of God, and they were flooded with the good news of what was happening right then and what was happening right there. We need to understand what's happening right here and right now. Right now, seek the Lord while He can be found, while He is near. And so, let me tell you, this is a time of consecration. I've been saying this week after week after week. This is a time of consecration. Consecration is something that God says, "Set this apart for me, just for me." And He's saying, this consecration is my people. My sons and daughters are being consecrated just for me. In this time of consecration, God is preparing a new wineskin in us to be able to carry the new wine that He wants to pour into us. This comes with a warning. We need to be ready with open and discerning hearts to receive the word of the Lord. He tells us right away that we will not like the new wine immediately. Let me bring this to you again. He tells us right away that we will not like the new wine immediately. This comes out of Luke 5:36-39. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. He told them a proverb also. This is Jesus speaking. "No one puts a patch from a new garment on an old garment. If he does, he will both tear the new one, and the patch from the new one will not match the old garment. And no one pours new wine into the old wineskin. If he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined, destroyed. But the new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, immediately desires the new wine. For he says the old is good or better." Okay, understand what's happening here. He said they would make these this new wineskin, and after a time they would become old, and what would happen was they would have holes in them, and they would get new patches and put it on the old wineskin. But then they would pour new wine into it, and then it would begin to ferment. And when it would expand, it would tear the old wineskin bottle because the new patch wouldn't expand with it, and therefore it would burst. It would tear apart, and therefore it would spill the new wine. Understand, he's making a great reference here to what's going to happen. He says, I am bringing a new wineskin. He says, I'm doing something new here with you. I'm doing something new in your hearts. You remember last week when I talked about Saul, and he says, you're going to go with a company of prophets, and I'm going to make you into a different man. And in that, he says, when he turned around, he put a different heart in him. And I prayed last week, God, put a different heart in me. This is happening. This is the same thing that's happening. He says, there's a new wineskin that God is doing in our lives right now. And he's preparing us to receive the new wine. This is not, don't let this time come and go without there being change in our lives. And what is this change? Well, we should increase in stature in God. We should increase in loving God more, learning to hear his voice. Oh, there's God. I hear God. I know that's God's voice. We should be more attuned to the voice of the Lord. We should know the word more, because we've been in the word more. So in this time of consecration, being set apart for God, taking away the distractions, no sports, no TV, no job to go to, but just God, we are getting the new wineskin put in place, getting ready. All of a sudden, I guarantee when we come out of this, we're going to be open-hearted, open-armed, ready to embrace the new wine. As a church, as a people, as sons and daughters of God, ready to receive. Oh, man, I'm excited. I am so excited. I want to read to you Psalm 91. And I want you to read this too. This is out of the King James. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Nor shall the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth by the noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I'm going to read that one again. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest any dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under foot, because thou hast set his love. Thou hast set his love. Thou hast set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is true to his promises. And I say amen to his word.
Amen. Once again, very timely, important word for the church. And I appreciate you, Arthur. I appreciate your heart. And I appreciate your gift. We do have things to consider as this current situation unfolds, keeps us out of our norm. I will say just some practical things here about this Facebook Live. Arthur can't see your comments as you comment in during the preaching, but keep them coming anyway. I can see them. I appreciate it. And he can see them after the fact if he goes back to look. But it's encouraging. Thank you for joining and participating that way. It's an acknowledgement of what this is doing for the body of Christ, and that's important. Normally, a lot of churches will celebrate the Last Supper on, they call it Maundy Thursday this week, but we're going to take Friday, Good Friday at 7 p.m. and have a Zoom, as Arthur already mentioned, have a Zoom meeting again. I hope everyone can join and be prepared to take communion together, even though remotely, together in heart and in spirit. And so we'll send out a text and an email by the Flock Note system. If you're not part of the Flock Note system and want to be, I'm going to put the slideshow back up here in just a minute as we finish. And that information on how to join that is going to be on there. I'll tell you, I expect everyone is like me in looking so forward to the time when we can all walk in this place and hug and be together again. Looking forward to that so much. And I think when we do, we'll all have a greater appreciation and understanding of the vital nature, the importance of the assembly of the church, the reason for it, the life that it brings. But I'm thankful for these things that we're able to do in the meantime. But let us all look forward to that time that we can join again in the assembly. Just a reminder, just think about this. Paul just got to talk to people by letter. Took a long, long time in between communications back then. I mean, long distances and people walking or riding a donkey or whatever to get the word out. And occasionally he got to visit. Occasionally. Well, at least we can meet regularly during the week on Sundays this way. I'm thankful for that. We've got it a lot better than Paul did about the timeliness of communication, and that's really vital right now. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Let God edify us all in our closets during this time. So I'm about to put that slideshow back up just so you can see all the information. Like for Flock Note and for Good Friday Zoom meeting. Be blessed. Have a great week.